Turn to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. The book of Acts records the beginning of the New Testament church. Jesus has gone to heaven. Jesus has died, was buried, rose again. He's gone to heaven. And now the apostles are preaching and teaching throughout the books of Acts. Acts is not like an axe as that you chop a tree down with. Acts, the book there, is speaking about the acts or the actions of the apostles of that early church. And we're looking here at the beginning of the book of Acts. It's a longer book. Beginning of the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 4. If you would read with me, verse number 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Let's pray, and then we're going to get into this message, a simple message this morning, but one that I believe the Lord has for us today. Dear Lord, we come to you humbly. We thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you that you died for us, that you love us, that you've offered us a free gift of salvation. God, I pray this morning that you'd use me as your servant, as your vessel, to share your gospel clearly to folks that are here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The world is filled with thousands of different kinds of religions and philosophies and sometimes what are called spiritual paths of some sort. And there are those in the world that'll tell you, say, hey, all of these are different ways to heaven. They said, well, there's Muhammad's way to heaven, and there's Buddha's way to heaven, and there's this way to heaven and that way to heaven. There's the Catholic way to heaven, and there's all of these different ways to heaven. Modern culture will say that all roads lead to God. All beliefs are equally valid. But I'm not here to preach modern philosophy. At Mount Valley Baptist Church, I'm not here to talk about what is popular. I'm here to preach the very words of God. And the Bible declares without apology that there is one way to heaven. There is one Savior, one gospel, and one name whereby we must be saved. I don't desire to offend anyone this morning, but I tell you, we live in a society, we live in a city and a culture where I have people knocking on my doors, offering me another book that says another gospel. I want to preach this morning that there is salvation by no other name and no other gospel. Only by the name of Christ and by his gospel found in his word of God. When Peter stood before here, the highest of Jewish authorities in Acts chapter 4, he's not preaching to just nobodies. He's here speaking to the somebodies of his day. The highest Jewish authority here, Acts chapter 4, he boldly proclaimed a salvation that excludes all others. Say, Pastor, that's not very, very nice and inclusive. Well, I'll tell you what. The Bible makes it very clear there's only one way, one truth, one life. This sermon this morning, I want to simply take from Scripture alone and show you that there is one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. There is one gospel, and that's the gospel that Jesus laid out very clearly here in his word. Not his word plus some other thoughts, not his word plus some church doctrine, not his word plus some religious teaching, not his word plus your preacher's ideas. No, his gospel, his word alone. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through faith in his Christ, finished work on the cross. So let's look at that this morning. First of all, there's no other name that can save because of who Jesus Christ is. In order to see why there is no other name whereby we can be saved, we must first focus on who he is. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter does not merely preach a message, he declares a person. He declares a person. Salvation isn't in a church. Salvation isn't in a creed or a religion or a ritual or a priest. Salvation is in Christ alone. I've heard people errantly tell me, they say, Pastor, Jesus left us his church, and that is how we become saved. I tell you, he instituted the church, yes, but that's not how you get saved. Oftentimes, it can be the instrument to bring people the gospel or to bring folks to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but we're not saved because of a church. We're only saved through Christ alone. Salvation only comes through him. I heard somebody just a couple weeks ago told me, said, Pastor, I'm really trying hard to become a Christian. I had to explain to the gentleman, I said, I'm sad to hear that, because you can try all you want and it's not going to make you a Christian based off of your efforts, based off of your religious rituals. It's only Christ alone who saves. Jesus Christ, who is he? First of all, he is God manifest in the flesh. He is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16 says, God was manifest in the flesh. You say, man, Pastor, you stole the Bible for your point. Exactly. I don't attempt to get up here and to preach my opinions, because they're not worth all that much. I want to preach this morning, what does the Bible say? God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus was not just a good teacher, yet he was a teacher. He was not just a prophet, while he did prophesy. He was not just a healer, while yes, he did heal many. He was not just a moral example, while that he certainly is. He was and is God in human flesh. He is the eternal Son of God, but he is himself God. Don't believe when people will try to convince you, they say, hey, well he was special, he was like God, but I don't think he really was God. The Bible is clear. It calls him, he is deity. He says, I am the I am. He is God manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 talks about here that in the beginning was the Word. This here, it's a capital W word. It's a name for Jesus. It says, in the beginning was Jesus. So in the beginning, what it tells you is that in the beginning, when God created everything, Jesus already was. In the beginning, when God created man, when God created the earth, when God created the stars and the sky, when God created the moon to shine at night and the sun to shine in the day, he already was. He is eternal. That's what that first part says. In the beginning was the Word. Going on, it says, important part right here. And the Word, remember Jesus, was God. It didn't say he was like God. It didn't say he was just with God. It said he was God. And then it moves on and once again tells us, and that Word, Jesus, was made flesh. And he dwelt among us. Only God can forgive sin. Only God can save. So that if we're going to put our faith and trust for all of eternity in somebody, we ought to make sure we understand Jesus Christ is God. You see, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit is God and God the Father is God, that they are three separate beings, yet they are only one God. You see, that's hard to understand. I know, because he is God and we are not. He's so much bigger and more vast and more powerful and more awesome than we can ever even imagine and comprehend. He is God. First thing about who Christ is, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Also, Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Is the promised Messiah. My wife, she thinks she might be downstairs. My wife's side, her mother's side of the family have Jewish roots, and a lot of folks that are on that side of the family, there's some that are still practicing Judaism. They're still desiring, saying, hey, I'm still waiting for a Messiah. Now, praise the Lord, my wife's mom or her brother or mom, they're all saved. And I was speaking for at length to her uncle, Uncle Jay, and he's what he calls a Messianic Jew, where he says, hey, I'm a Jew, but I'm saved through Christ. My Messiah has come. And he practices the Shabbat, and he brings in to his home oftentimes people who are practicing Orthodox Jews, and many times he will try to speak to them and say, hey, yes, I believe what the Bible says here in the Old Testament about the Messiah, but let me tell you, he has come. Jesus Christ is that Messiah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter says, thou, remember Peter speaking in Acts chapter 4, same guy, Peter says here in Matthew 16, 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the moment right there. It's a really cool moment. Peter doesn't keep those moments to himself. Every single one of those, he blurts them out. He says, this is the moment where Peter realizes, whoa, this is my Messiah. And he blurts it out. He says right here, he says, thou art the Christ. Whoa, the Son of the living God. And he put down his fishing nets and he followed after him. Christ means anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies of a coming Savior. Here in a couple months after Thanksgiving, we'll start singing Christmas songs, and we'll start singing about all of these prophecies, about how he would be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and all of these prophecies are fulfilled because Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and Jesus Christ is the Messiah that we read about in the Old Testament. Jesus is also the only sinless substitute. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 makes a very important distinction about Christ. He says there, without sin. See, those are just two words, preacher. I know, but those are two words that can't be said about any of us. None of us can stand up here and say those words belong to me. I am without sin. We're all sinners. Every single one of us, every single person in all of the years that this earth, ever since creation, ever since the first two, Adam and Eve, sinned in the garden, every single one of us has been a sinner except for Christ. He's the only sinless substitute. I tell you, that's what sets him apart. You say, oh, there's a lot of religions. Yeah, there's a lot of religions. Muhammad was a pretty wicked guy. Buddha, they lift him up, but he was not sinless. All these people found all these different religions. You know what cannot be said about any of them? None of them are without sin. But Jesus Christ, the only one who can bring us salvation, he is the sinless one. Christ alone can stand before God the Father as the perfect sacrifice, giving his life for us. Because he's the only sinless substitute. I tell you what else that sets Jesus apart. Jesus alone conquered death. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Jesus says here, I am he that liveth and was dead. Wow. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Wow. His resurrection that we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Hey, we celebrate that every single Sunday. You say, well, preacher, why do we come to church on Sunday, not on Saturday or Tuesday? Hey, we can come to church every day. But I'm here in God's house on Sunday morning to say he is not dead. He is a risen Savior. It's not just that he died. It's not just that he was buried. Not just that he was a sinless substitute. But he defeated death. And he rose up from the grave. Christ alone conquered death. Hey, Buddha died. Muhammad died. Confucius died. Guess what? They're still dead. But you can go to a tomb outside of Jerusalem. The tomb's rolled, the stone's rolled away, folks. You can walk right in. I know my grandparents' folks have been there. My parents have been there. I would love to go someday. Walk right in there and realize the tomb's empty. He's not in the grave anymore. He conquered death and hell so that we can have our souls saved for eternity. No man can save. I tell you, it doesn't matter how many good things you do, how many times you put money in the offering plate, how many people you help across the street, how many good deeds you check off a list, you can't save yourself. You can't. In the end, we're still sinners in need of a Savior. But I tell you, there's no other person like Jesus. He alone is God. He alone is Christ. He alone is sinless. He alone is risen and alive forever. So looked at the fact that there is no other name that can save because of who Christ is. But I tell you, there's no other gospel that can save because Christ's work is complete. Christ didn't leave the door open for to say, all right, we're gonna have somebody come fix what I messed up. No, he completed that work. This is the completed work of God. Not to be added to, not to be subtracted from. This is the whole word of God. We can stand on its firm foundation. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Paul warns there. He says, if any other gospel, whether any prophet or preacher or angel bring you any other gospel, let it be accursed. I don't need another gospel. I don't need a new revelation. I need this book. This word alone, the Bible, yes, that's enough for me. The true gospel defined. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. This is the gospel. It says that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. The gospel is what Christ has done. It is completed. It is a finished work. It's not what he has done, plus what we must do. It's concluded. The work has been finished on the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He offers us a full salvation. Not saying, hey, I need you to do all these good works, and then I'll get you across the finish line. No, 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 no. He is everything. He offers us a full and free salvation. Christ is the only one who can save. This gospel is the only gospel. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says there, I love how clear the Bible is. I know there's complicated parts, but there's a lot of portions of the Bible, most of the Bible, that couldn't be more clear. It says, not of works. You say, find me a loophole in that. Not of works. It says, you're not saved of works, lest any man should boast. No, no, no. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. You say, Pastor, I know I'm not a great person. I know I've sinned. You don't have to convince me of that. We all have. The Bible says, for all have sinned. I know that because of that sin, I come short of the glory of God. I tell you, it doesn't matter how good of a person you become. It's not of our works that we're saved. It's by grace alone. No ritual, no baptism, no sacrament, no good deeds can add to the gospel. The gospel is complete. It is finished. If salvation required human effort, then Christ died in vain, and he did not die in vain. His blood is sufficient. His blood shed for us is that all that is needed to cover our sins. Salvation is by grace alone through faith. Also saying that the cross is sufficient, nothing can be added. John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus' last words on the cross, he says, it is finished. It is finished. So when we say, hey, I don't know if I can accept that gospel salvation. I don't know that I can accept that free gift. I'm going to try to do some good works on my own. What we're saying is, hey, Jesus, when he died on the cross, Jesus, when he shed his blood for us, Jesus, who is God, who is the Messiah, who died, was buried, and rose again for us. Hey, that's not enough. I've got to add to it. It is finished. There's nothing for us to add. Other religions, I'm not saying other denominations. I'm saying people that want to add to the Bible will say, hey, you need to do to be saved. Christ says in the Bible, he says, it is done. It is done. You must turn to Christ and receive that salvation. His blood fully satisfies the wrath of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 makes that abundantly clear. His cross is sufficient. Nothing can be added. Salvation is by grace alone. I tell you, a false gospel cannot save anyone. False gospel cannot save anyone. So what are false gospels? Well, there's a lot of folks today that believe that doing good works is going to get them to heaven. There's a lot of very good, a lot of very sincere, a lot of wonderful people who are probably in a church house somewhere around this country, around the world, believing that the good work of showing up to church is going to get them to heaven. I tell you, as noble of an effort as that is, it's not the gospel. It's not salvation. And that won't get them to heaven unless they receive Christ as their Savior. Christ alone, they sadly will perish. Another false gospel that is very popular is that you get your salvation through baptism. Say, oh, I'm going to be baptized in order to go to heaven. I tell you, baptism is not salvation. Baptism is what we call a public testimony. It's a declaration. Hey, people have died for their baptism, but their baptism hasn't gotten them to heaven. Salvation does. Salvation does. Baptism is saying, hey, I'm going to publicly in front of the congregation, I'm going to be buried under the water like Christ was buried, and signifying his death, his burial, and coming up out of the water, signifying his resurrection, publicly declaring, say, hey, I've received that gospel. Not that I'm adding this to that gospel, I've received that salvation. Salvation is not by works, not by baptism, not by church membership. Salvation is not by some sacraments or some feelings. It's not by sincerity alone. I already said that there are many very, 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 very sincere people who are sincerely led astray. There's only one Christ and one salvation whereby we can be saved. There's no other way to be saved because God has given only one way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, none other name whereby we must be saved. It didn't just say, come to Jesus and be saved. He is a way. The Bible actually goes out of its way. Lord goes out of his way to make a point to say, hey, not only is he the way for salvation, also, there's no other way. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's a lot of people trying to come other ways. There's a lot of people, they'll go through great efforts. Sometimes I wonder, if Christians would have the effort that some of these folks that are following these false religions would have. I mean, these pilgrimages on their knees. I tell you, that's great effort. That's sincere. But there's no other way. No man coming to the Father but by Christ alone. Not a way. Notice the way. I tell you, every word of God is important. Every single word. I am a way. I am the way. The truth. The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is not to make people feel bad. It's not, in our culture today, exclusivity is looked at as arrogance. I tell you, it's none of that. It's Scripture. It's that simple. My job is not to get up here and to preach what you want to hear or to preach what's popular. My job is to get up here and by the grace of God, open this book and preach these truths and these truths alone. So that's what we're doing. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, but there's also one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Hey, that mediator, I'm sorry, it's not Mary. And it's hey, there's one mediator between God and man. Why don't you pray to Mother Mary? Now I think Mary is a great example of what godly young woman should be, but that's about it. She needed to come to Christ, her own son, for salvation. It's not one mediator between God and man, the saints. It's not one mediator between God and man, come to a confessional booth and talk to the pastor or the priest. No. One mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Only Christ bridges the gap between God and we lowly sinners. We as sinners, and we certainly are, don't deserve to approach the throne room of God. We have an advocate, though. We have a mediator, and it's Jesus Christ. There's only one door to salvation. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus Christ boldly proclaims, he says, hey, there's only one door through which you can be saved. And he said, hey, that door, and I quote, I am the door. Any salvation of sorts that bypasses Christ is a false, misleading, misdirecting religious act. It is not salvation. There is one door. All other doors lead to destruction. Hey, Satan's not a fool. Satan wants to deceive folks, and he wants to do so making you think you're going to end up with salvation. He's blinded the masses. Millions, billions of people all over the world are blindly following other ways, thinking they're going to lead to some heaven or an equivalent of that. Satan desires to pull the wool over your eyes and to deceive you. But I'm going to tell you, any other door leads to destruction. It is only Jesus Christ by which we can be saved. The world rejects this truth. The world calls this message that I've preached this morning hateful. But I tell you what, God declares it as truth. The gospel, the Bible says to the world, to the unsaved, is foolishness. But, goes on, to us, it is the power of God unto salvation. I tell you what, it doesn't matter how much the world around us slanders this word. It doesn't matter how much our culture tears down the truths of this Bible. They are still true. The gospel is still the answer. And Jesus Christ still saves souls. And if you're here today and you're not saved, he wants to save you too. He actually commands it. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. This is because Christ is the judge. Salvation requires repentance and faith in him alone. Not in a church, not in a religious activity, in Christ alone. So what's the personal application here? You say, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever come to this point of receiving this salvation. I would really like to go to heaven when I die. I'd really like to understand this. How do I apply this personally? Well, first of all, the first thing that must happen for a lost soul to receive Christ as their Savior is you have to realize your lost condition. That's the first thing. You say, I have to realize my lost condition. What does that mean? Romans chapter number 3, verse 23. Romans chapter number 3, verse 23. Once again, I love how clear the Bible is. It doesn't leave room for loopholes, brother. It says, for all have sinned. Man, that levels the playing field here. There's no, oh, but I'm better than Sister So-and-so down there. Who cares? We've all sinned. We've all sinned. It says, for all have sinned. All of us happen to be part of that word, all. It's simple. It's not complicated, folks. For all have sinned. And it goes on and says, and have come short. Because of that sin, we've come short of the glory of God. I was teaching the teenagers about decisions that define them, and we're talking about holiness, that we must choose God's holiness over the worldliness. And with that, we got to realize God is a holy God. He cannot tolerate sin. And because we are all sinners, we have all come short of his glory. We can't get ourselves into heaven because why? We're all sinners. We have to realize our lost condition because we're all sinners. And then it goes on. Three chapters later, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin, the paycheck, the reward for sin Remember, we're all sinners. And the reward, the wages of that sin is death in hell. You see, that's awful. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is a hopeless state where we realize that without this one salvation, without salvation in Christ alone, we're all sinners. We've all come short. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We actually, because we're all sinners, we all deserve to go to hell. Now, he doesn't desire us to, and that verse doesn't end there. It says, wages of sin is death, and then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. We must first realize our lost condition. Without salvation, without receiving Christ as our Savior, we're all sinners. We've all come short of his glory. We cannot get into heaven on our own. And hey, we actually deserve death and hell. We're lost without Christ. And we realize then that he is the answer. The next step after realizing a lost condition is to repent of our sin and turn to Christ. You say, what is repentance? Is it becoming perfect? No. Repentance literally has a simple definition of turning. Here we are, we're all sinners, we're walking in a life of sin, we're walking away from Christ, and we turn to Christ and receive his salvation. Turning from sin. Luke chapter 13, verse 33, you say, are you sure repentance is needed, necessary in salvation? Yeah. Why? Because the Bible says so. I'm not here to give you my opinions. I'm here to give you the word of God. It's simple. Once again, repent or you shall likewise perish. It's simple. Repentance is a change of the mind and heart about sin and self and the Savior. It's a turning from our sin to our Savior. So it's realizing, hey, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. Jesus, hey, even though I'm a sinner, Jesus died to save my soul. He loved me that much. He is the only way. He's the only salvation that there is. And in my lost and dying condition, I turned to Christ and realized he died on the cross and his blood is sufficient to save my soul. We believe that he has died. We believe that he rose again. We believe that he can save our soul. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10 talks about that turning and believing and receiving and to call upon the name of the Lord. And ye shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have to realize we need salvation, that we're lost. We're a sinner. We all are. Without Christ's salvation, we're on our way to hell. We've got to realize too that we can turn from that sin, repent, turn to a Christ who's already died for us, a Christ who already finished that work on the cross, a Christ who already defeated death and sin, and who offers us a free gift of salvation, not to be worked for, not to be earned. We can't earn it. We can never deserve it. But to receive that gift of salvation and make it our own. And in doing so, we call upon the name of the Lord, and we're saved. Salvation is not a religion. It's a belief in Christ. Salvation is not works. It's the gospel. Salvation is not in many names, but one name alone, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not many ways, but one way. Through his gospel alone. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 stands today as a clear declaration of gospel exclusivity. Neither is there salvation in any other. Only through Christ. There's no other Savior, no other substitute, no other sacrifice, no other gospel, no other way, no other name whereby we must be saved. But if you're here this morning, you say, I've not come to that point yet in my life. I've not received this gospel. I've not been saved. I tell you, behold, today is the day of salvation. We must be saved. We don't want to play with eternity. Eternity is forever and forever and forever. The Bible teaches clearly that we will spend eternity somewhere. It will be one of two places, either heaven or hell. And I've tried my very best to very clearly share with each and every one of us here this morning how we can know for sure, beyond the shadow of the doubt, that we have received the one way, the only salvation through Christ alone, and that we can know that we're saved, and that if we were to die today, we'd go to heaven. I pray that you'd receive Christ today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Lord, I thank you for your gospel, Lord. We are so undeserving. All of us are sinners. We don't deserve even your attention, let alone your salvation. God, I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you that you are the one, the only way for salvation. And I pray tonight, this morning, I pray that you'd work on hearts. I pray, I don't know the state of the hearts of anybody here in this room, everybody here under the sound of my voice, but I pray if anybody's here and doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, that they'd come, they'd receive you, and they'd be saved today. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.